Welcome to worship and the season of Lent. We began the 40 days on Ash Wednesday this past week, and we had lots of good comments about the soup to go and the soup to share, and I'm glad that everybody enjoyed the soup. I thank my wife Julie for carefully and safely making it and packaging it so that we knew that we could distribute it in a safe way as a part of our Lenten tradition that we've had at Emmanuel. Also want to remind you that we have our CMAC team, servant team, many of them here tonight. I know Tom was able to get down there too and do some serving, and some of the grandkids and Katie. And so a wonderful opportunity to take, if you will, Midwest hospitality and Minnesota, the love of Jesus that we have, Emmanuel's presence, down to Pensacola, Florida, working with the North American Lutheran Church and others as well, and bringing healing and hope and restoration to people in need. And so thank you to Larry, CMAC team, and those who are listening online as well. We appreciate your servant hearts and your servant work. Also, yesterday was the 1 year anniversary Trinity Lutheran Church in St. Charles, and so we give a shout out to them. I was blessed, as you know, to be able to preach and lead worship at their first service of worship there, and I thank God for that. They are fired up people, they love the Lord, and even in the midst of COVID-19, they are a wonderful sister congregation for us to have, and so we want to make sure that we continue to thank God for them, their faithful work, their servant hearts, and for the future that He has planned for them as well. This coming week, we are collecting soup on Saturday nights, and we'll kind of keep a tally to let you know what we have. I mentioned in my 431 today that some people have a goal in their household of saying, well, we want to collect 40 cans for the 40 days of Lent. Other people are saying, well, we want to bring 7 cans for the 7 Saturdays. Or some people are giving to other food banks and food shelves with their soup. That's okay. It's a Lenten discipline. It's about how we remember the poor. And in this case, we're giving the soup that we collect to one of our ministry partners, which is the Salvation Army Food Pantry. So a great fit. I mentioned to my wife earlier today, isn't this wonderful? We supported New Life in January, and now in February and March, we're going to be able to support another ministry partner that's valuable to us here in Rochester and also here at Emmanuel. This coming Wednesday, men's in-person Bible study here at 11, and then I'll start posting a devotional message for our midweek offering, and Don's been putting those up there on the screen as well, so thank you, Don. Next Saturday, installation of our church council for 2021, and I think the other announcements are in your bulletin, so please take note of those. Our opening hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, verse 2, men in the congregation soloing with me, and verse 3, women of the congregation soloing with Julie. We rise as we are able.
Battle.
We continue with our greeting. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The word is near you.
On your lips and in your heart.
If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord,
and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Faith comes from what is heard.
And what is heard comes through the word of Christ.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, you would have us put no trust in anything we do. Mercifully grant that by your power we may be defended against all adversity. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Congregation, may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
The first lesson is from Genesis chapter 22, beginning with verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 25, and we will read it responsively. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust.
Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me.
Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame.
They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long.
Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old.
Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions.
According to your steadfast love, remember me.
For the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way.
He leads the humble in what is right, and teaches the humble his way.
All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness.
For those who keep his covenant and his testimonies.
The second lesson is from James chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated. I remind you that earlier I posted a children's message that can be shared with the kids that you know, or grandkids, etc., called Testing, Testing 1, 2, 3. And then before we have our sermon for tonight, we will sing verses 1 and 2 of our hymn of the day, In the Hour of Trial. Thank you. We shall remain steadfast under trial. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Is it on? Is it working? You see, we are created by God. We are redeemed, sanctified, glorified by God for a purpose. And so with this saving faith comes the question, is it on? Is it working? God will test those whom he loves to complete us in our saving faith. God will put us to the test to make sure that we're on and working in the name of Jesus. But as James reminds us, God tempts no one to sin. When temptation comes, we know who's behind it. It's Satan. It's the devil who stirs up those desires and entices us, because the tester wants us to succeed and pass. But the tempter wants us to fail. I heard a story from a pastor friend recently. He says that it's true. The story goes like this. There was a professor teaching the Bible to students at a college in Texas. And this particular professor, well, he did a good job, we think, we believe. And so what happened was, it came time for the final exam. You know, finals, an exam. Like if you go in to see the eye doctor, it's to make sure that the eyes are working and functioning properly. And obviously, they're not going to give you new glasses if you don't need them, if they're just giving you an exam and testing you for a good purpose. Well, this particular professor down in Texas had taught the students, and he said, for your final, it's not going to be here in the building. It's going to be at my church. He said, it's a few blocks away. You just go right straight on the straight path of the campus, but here's directions, and here's the time of the test, because I don't want anyone to be late, obviously, and I don't want anyone to get lost. You know what's important. You've been reading the Bible, and now it's time for the final exam. Well, that Friday came, and it was time then for the final exam, for the test, and the students had their directions, and they were making their way individually at different times across the campus so that they would arrive there for the test. And unbeknownst to them, there was on that campus, on that particular path, a mother with two children, small, they were homeless, and they were in need, and the need was obvious. So what do you suppose all of the students in that Bible class did? Every single one of them. Well, they were so preoccupied with the test, the final exam, that they didn't even stop to ask about this lady or to render her help in any way. And when they arrived at the church, the professor was there, and he said, your exam for today. On the way over here, did you see anyone in need? Did you stop and render them help? No, none of you did. That, my students, was the test for today. That was your final, and you all failed. You can go home now. An obvious need. The professor had told them in his concluding remarks, I can teach you the Bible from cover to cover. You can read it, you can memorize it, you can quote it. But are you practicing it? Are you on? Is your saving faith working? Now, when I heard the pastor tell me this story, you know what I wondered? Probably the same thing you're wondering. Did they get a second chance? I don't know about you, but when testing comes my way, or like Abraham in our first reading for tonight, I need to know that it's not just once and done. I need to know that God is steadfast, gracious, merciful, abounding in forgiveness for us. You see, when testing comes, and it will come to you and to me, because God wants to complete us. God wants to make sure that our saving faith is working. I'm going to need grace. I need grace every day. And I'm guessing you do too. In the hour of trial, Jesus, plead for me, lest by base denial I depart from thee, when thou seest me waver, with a look recall, nor from fear or favor, suffer me to fall. Now, after these things, that's how our first reading begins for tonight. Now, after these things, what things? Well, we know the story from Genesis 22. It's disturbing, it's troubling. It's called the Akedah by the Jewish people, or the sacrifice of Isaac, right? The binding of Isaac on Mount Moriah, which, as you know, is also the same mountain range as Calvary, Golgotha, the Dome of the Rock, if you've been to Israel. After these things, what things? Well, we know the words of Isaac, who has the wood of the sacrificial offering laid upon him. He says, so we got the wood, we got the fire, it looks like we got everything, Pops. But where's the sacrificial lamb? And do you remember how Abraham replied? My son, the Lord will provide himself the burnt offering for the sacrifice. Now, after these things, what things? I listened this past week to a testimony on Voice for the Martyrs. I mean, sometimes that's troubling because you know that in parts of our world, there are people that are tested and tempted way more than we ever will be. And they remained faithful under fire, even though it can mean the loss of job and home and money, friends. It can even mean their own death, which in many cases it does. And this is a story about Asaph. Asaph was a well-liked supervisor in a fabric manufacturing place in Pakistan. A Christian. It's not easy being a Christian in Pakistan. Every morning, he had a Bible study, devotional time, with 10 of the employees there. The Christian faith. But his boss, the owner of that place, he said, no, that stops now. And then he started persecuting Asaph. Asaph said, well, I can't do this. Here, you take a Bible, you read about Jesus, you will see that he's the savior of the world. And then the persecution intensified. And the owner of this fabric manufacturing plant, he brought in an imam. And he said, you will participate in the Muslim prayers. He said, oh, I can't do that. I pray to Jesus. I pray to the Father in Jesus' name, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Finally, the owner of the company said, you either convert or you're fired. He says, you know what he says? The Lord will provide. Quoting Paul, Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Not just some of your needs or most of your needs, but all of your needs according to one. What's the source? Jesus Christ. The inexhaustible, the account that can't be depleted. You see, that's where God's providence relies. And Abraham knew that. On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Don't worry, God's going to provide. And that's what Asaph told the owner of the company, and of course he was immediately fired. So what happens? Well, he loses his job, his income. If you're in Pakistan, there's a slim chance that if you're a Christian, you're going to find gainful employment. He knew exactly what he was giving up by staying with Jesus. But he also knew exactly what God had promised to provide and would do for him. Voice of the Martyrs and those who support that organization, they stepped in and they've been taking care of Asaph and his family during this time. But now they've had to go into hiding. You know why? Death threats. in the hour of trial, Jesus, plead for me, lest by base denial I depart from thee. When thou seest me waver, with a look recall, nor from fear or favor, suffer me to fall. Now, after these things, you know what things the book of Genesis is talking about, because the story of Abraham and Sarah begins in earnest in chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, where Abraham is 75 and Sarah is 65, and they're called out of this relative security called retirement into the absolute security of being chosen by God, age 75, age 65. Ha! Anybody says we're an older congregation, they haven't read their Bible. That's when God is calling people. So if you're like 65, 75, God's just getting started with you folks. You hear me? He's just getting started with us. You remember the promise that God made? God said to Abraham and Sarah, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make you into such a large family with such an important name, with lots of land, that, well, you're going to be blessed. And not only are you going to be blessed, but you're going to be blessed for a calling and a purpose. And you know what that is? So that the whole world is blessed through your seed. Through your seed. Singular and plural. Through us who have been baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus, because Jesus is the seed of Abraham through that lineage of Abraham down through Isaac and Jacob. And you know the rest of the story. Wow. After these things, what a promise. But you know also that Abraham and Sarah had some trust issues. I'm guessing we do too. We know the Lord will provide. We know, according to St. James, that when we're tested under fire, by the grace of God, we will remain steadfast. It's a promise. By the grace of God. Well, Abraham twice pawned off his wife as his sister to save his own skin. You know also that there was famine. You know also that there was this surrogate motherhood thing where Sarah said, well, I can't have a baby, I'm barren. How about you use my maid Hagar? We know that there was lots of testing along the way to complete the faith that God had given to Abraham and Sarah. There was the promise, remember, when Abraham's 99 and Sarah is 89, you're going to have a baby in the spring. They laughed and laughed. Not possible. Not possible. You got the wrong address or something's wrong. You know, I mean, Abraham had tried to adopt Eliezer as a son, and they tried the surrogate stuff. Sarah was still barren, and they were laughing, and God says, that's a great name for a boy. You're going to call him Isaac, which means laughter. He's going to bring laughter. Laughter to everyone, laughter to this world, through the seed. Well, then comes chapter 22, you know. And the rabbis describe it like this. They say, God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, Abraham, take your son. Well, I've got two of them. Your only son. Well, they're both, you know, an only son to their mothers, whom you love. Who can measure the unsurpassing love a father has for his son? Isaac. And bring him up to the mount called Moriah and offer him. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Am I on? Is it working? What would you do? What will Abraham do? What will God do? Did Abraham talk it over with his wife, Sarah? Would it have done any good? Everything hinges on the seed. on the promises of God. What's going to happen? Surrendering back the gift that God first gives? Who would do it? Faith would do it. The book of Hebrews says that Abraham knew that God could even give back what had been put to death through resurrection. Wow. In Hebrews 11, you know, the faith chapter, that's what it says. It was by faith, God-given faith, the grace of God only, that empowers this story. As crazy and as insane as it sounds, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and sacrifice him, give him back to me. And so, you know the story. They get to Mount Moriah on the third day. Does that ring a bell? Have you heard anybody else make a promise about the third day? I have. It's in the Bible, and it comes from the lips of Jesus himself, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the one who on Mount Moriah is not spared, but suffers and dies on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins and my sin. Father, we've got the wood. Father, we've got the fire, the knife, everything's ready, but where's the lamb? The Lord will provide himself, the lamb, for the burnt offering. Trust issues? And why testing comes our way? Oh, we know the devil likes to tempt. Jesus, you've been in the wilderness for 40 days. Here's what you need to do. Turn these stones into bread and eat. Think about your belly for once in your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, Jesus says. Well, how about this? You want the power? You want to be in control, Jesus? Why don't you do this? Why don't you bow down and worship me, and you'll be the number one person in this whole world? You'll be the greatest person ever. Think about yourself instead of always thinking about other people. And Jesus says, no. No. It is written that you shall worship the Lord your God and serve only him. The third temptation, you remember it, they're up on the temple pinnacle. I mean, it's way, way up high. And the devil says, well, you want to quote scripture? How about what the Bible says in the Psalms? He'll send his angels to guard you, to protect you. You won't even get a sliver. Trust. You just need to trust, Jesus, what the word says. And forget about this nonsense of saving the world. And you know what Jesus says? It is written in the word of God, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Jesus said, no, 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 to the devil. And he said, yes, 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 to the Father's will, even though it meant a cross. You see what happens on Mount Moriah? You see where Abraham is at? Not between a rock and a hard place, but in the gracious hands of God. We don't know why this test is happening for sure. It doesn't say until we get to the very end of the story, when he's about to complete the sacrifice and God puts a halt to it and says, Abraham, Abraham. And there's that lamb that's caught in the thicket that becomes a substitute. And you remember what the Lord says? Now I know. Now I know that you fear the Lord. Oh, we're not talking about shaking in your books. You know, shaking in your boots, fear and trepidation, that kind of stuff. No, fear the Lord. God, number one. Always, number one. Most important, we reverence God. We have awe of God. And we know that we're saved by grace and by grace alone through the saving faith, which is the work of the Holy Spirit. We know that. And God is completing us in that. And God is saying, testing, testing, one, two, three. Are you on? Is it working? God provides. Always. Always provides. You know it. You believe it by the grace of God. St. James says, we remain steadfast under fire because God has promised it. And it shall be said on the mount of the Lord will provide. This all happened after Jesus was baptized and was driven into the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil. You know. You see the connection with baptism? I remember when my son was baptized by the pastor I grew up with. No, he couldn't be because they had an associate pastor and it wasn't his turn. So God got me kind of having to think about this whole thing about what baptism means for daily living. And then my daughter Jenna was baptized in Lake Lillian. And I cried a river of tears. And someone said, oh, kind of emotional day for you. As a father baptizing your own daughter, I said, no, you don't know the half of it. I said, you know what God showed me today? This is a sacrifice. I'm giving back what I don't own, what I can't claim, what is never mine to keep. It's a gift. And I realized it that day, that in baptism we surrender back to God what God gives us entrust to us to keep, to hold, to nourish, to raise in the saving faith of Jesus. And so in baptism, we return the gift to the giver. We do, because that's how it works for the testing. I mean, it's been said the same of marriage. If you have been blessed with holy Christian marriage, well, then the day will come. It will, my friends, when you surrender maybe a child, hopefully the child in baptism, but also your beloved, your wife or your husband. But we do it by faith. We do it in the blessed assurance of Christ that what God has given us is returned to God. In that forever love of Jesus by faith and by faith alone. You see? For eternity, the only absolute security one can ever have is in the promises of God. And my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Oh, what an amazing God we have. All because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, the seed of Abraham and Sarah. It won't be long and St. Patrick's Day will be coming up, you know, the 17th of March, patron saint of Ireland. St. Patrick, Roman Catholic evangelist, lots of amazing stories. I love this story. It's about baptism. And he was baptizing people into the Christian faith in the river about waist deep, one at a time. And then comes the chieftain. And the chieftain comes into the water. And there is St. Patrick with his staff. And every time, you know, there was a baptism, he would go like this. And then, of course, it was three times under Father, Son, Holy Spirit, with a staff down in the water. And here's the chieftain. And he's getting baptized. And he comes up out of the water, and as he's walking back, he's limping terribly. And St. Patrick wonders what's happened. He asked the people, and they said, oh, he didn't tell you. When you put the staff down, you nailed it right into his foot. He's got serious pain. St. Patrick felt terrible. He went to the chieftain. He said, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that happened. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you cry out in utter pain? You know what the chieftain said? He said this, "You have told us about Jesus and all of his wounds and the suffering that he went through. I just figured that if I was going to be baptized into his death and resurrection, it means that I would participate in his suffering too. That's what baptism means, participating in his suffering." Wow. I thought about a sign I saw once. And I said, you know, that should be on every baptismal font. It said, "Warning, this will be dangerous." It will be the death of you. Warning, this will be dangerous. It will be the death of you. Well, of course, I would ask, and the resurrection of you. For if we are united with Jesus in a death like his, we shall most certainly, Paul said, be united with him in a resurrection like his. In the hour of trial, Jesus plead for me. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Is it on? Is it working? Saving faith works. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we are able for verses 3 and 4 of our hymn of the day. Continue with our confession. In Christ you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith.
Pray in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us.
In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Sisters and brothers, rejoice. Mend your ways. Encourage one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
And so virtually we will share that peace with one another in safe ways as we are able this day and in the days ahead throughout the season of Lent. God be with you. You may be seated. I remind you that we are not passing offering baskets. We have a basket in the back. There's also many other ways that people choose to give and support the work of Emmanuel or to support the work of God's gospel in this world. Let's continue then with our prayers.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, your Son knew hunger in the wilderness, and yet his reliance on you did not fail. Give to your baptized people a steady trust in your promises and hope in your final deliverance. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, keep us steadfast in faith. Be merciful to us and forgive us when we succumb to the temptations that beset us throughout our earthly pilgrimage. When we come to the end of our life on earth, grant that the cross of your beloved Son may sustain us in true faith and hope, granting us resurrection into eternal life through Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, the old satanic foe has sworn to work us woe. Protect us from harm and bring the gift of healing to those who suffer illness, especially those we name before you.
We pray for your healing hand for Gail Jepson. Be with her, Lord, as she faces surgery on her shoulder and also for the healing of her feet. We pray for those, Lord, who are battling cancer and other diseases who seek your healing hand. We pray for Barb Stephenson and for Don. We pray, Lord, for Karen and for Rick and Nancy Stockman. We pray for Brian Belter and Aaron, his daughter. We pray, Lord, for Mel Harris and for John Badowski and Timothy Keller. We pray for Tim Johnson, for Nancy Webster. We pray for McKenna Studer. Be with your saints, O Lord.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Our gracious Father, we give you thanks and praise for the servant work of CMAC and for their safe return home. Bless the people that were served your good news in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray for our beloved brothers and sisters at Trinity Lutheran in St. Charles as they celebrate 1 year of your grace and your mercy as a mission congregation. Help them to remain steadfast under trial, Lord, and grant that they may continue to grow to the praise of your glory. Into your hands, most merciful Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.
Amen.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Our hymn, "Take, Lord, take my hand and lead me." Repent and believe in the gospel.
Thanks be to God.